Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered compulsive overeater today from Wyoming. Today is Tuesday, August 30th, and today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 24, the fourth paragraph. Today's readers are Justin B. and Jody E. The reference number for the previous day, for Monday, August 29th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 19,340, and the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, is 19,343. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Add a Vision for You Big Book Study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Sherry, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R., grateful recovered compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service this month. With that, I will pass.
Thanks, Rhonda. And I will now ask Nancy R. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy R. in New York. I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me do this terrific service. And I pass.
Thank you, Nancy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be timing everyone. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There is a Solution. We're on page 24. We're reading the fourth paragraph only. And I will now ask Justin B. to unpack this paragraph for us and get us started. Thanks, Justin.
Good morning, this is Justin B., living in the state of Washington, and I'm also a compulsive eater living in the state of recovery today. This is from this reading, page 24, fourth paragraph. When this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, he has probably placed himself beyond human aid, and unless locked up, may die or go permanently insane. These stark and ugly facts have been confirmed by legions of alcoholics throughout history. But for the grace of God, there would have been thousands more convincing demonstrations. So many want to stop, but cannot. Man, this paragraph just really speaks to me. And what sort of thinking is this? Well, from the previous paragraph, it's the, hey, this isn't going to hurt me this time. This time it'll be different. Well, you know, I've lived my life in many ways thinking, this time I can handle it. This time I can eat like a gentleman. This time I can, you know, do things differently. And it's just bit me over and over and over again. And I identify with being placed beyond human aid. I've tried so many different things to eat like a gentleman, to eat like everybody, quote unquote, everybody else, and have not been able to. And until I gave myself to this program, the spiritual program, but for the grace of God, I would be where I have been for most of my 47 years on this earth, just really struggling and trying to do better and be better, and yet finding myself beating my head against the wall in hopeless, in a frenzied hopelessness of, God, why can't I do this? Why can't I do this? White knuckling, clenching my fist, gritting my teeth, and just thinking that if I just tried harder or just tried this other way of doing things, this diet or that diet or this program or that program, it would work out. So grateful to have been brought to these rooms of recovery. I have been redeemed one day at a time. And I look forward to, you know, one day at a time for the rest of my life, renewing these commitments, these processes, these steps, so that I can, by the grace of God, walk this path. I'm Justin. I'm still an addict. With that, I will pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Justin, for getting us started, and great opening here. And before I take a lineup of other people who would like to share today, I'd like to remind you that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day on any Vision for You meeting in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you've shared on Friday or Monday, we ask that you hold back and wait until tomorrow. Who would like to share today?
Kim O.
Kim
Beth O. V. from Pennsylvania.
Beth V.
What's the paragraph, please?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're on page 24, the fourth paragraph.
I'd like to share a little W.
Something W?
Linda.
Linda. Thanks, Linda. So I have Kim O, Beth C, Linda W.
IVS.
Two people came in at the same time. Who was the first one?
Cynthia C.
Okay, I think it was Cynthia C, and then the other voice.
IVS.
IVS. Got it. I have Kim O, Beth B, Linda W, Cynthia C, IVS. Anyone else that wants to get added to this lineup? All right, let's get started. Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Kim O from Alabama, compulsive overeater. When I first came into the rooms, I think this was one of the first phrases that I heard, beyond human aid. That really I connected with. Like, there was nothing that I could do. There was nothing that another human being could do to stop the compulsive overeating or the behaviors. No matter physically what my body, the consequences that were coming close to life and death, no matter my son, beyond human aid of him who is recognizing and verbalizing, and I can see it in his face, and you know, there was nothing there that if I could have stopped eating compulsively, it would have happened with self-will, and it's not possible. It gave the thing, it says, unless locked up, may die or go permanently insane. And the other piece of that, besides the life or death for me, was the, you know, permanently insane. The links that this dis-ease, that this compulsive overeating effects, you know, it affects my mental health, my depression, my anxiety, not getting what my body needs, and it truly has a huge effect on my mental health as well. Those are the things that really stood out, the solution, but for the grace of God. There would have been thousands more convincing. Thanks, and I'll wrap up. There is a solution, and it is through this program and a spiritual connection, and I'll pass.
Okay, that wasn't me. You have 30 more seconds if you wanted to continue.
Yeah, I just, that's okay. I'll pass. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks so much. And just a gentle reminder that if you're not sharing, to please keep yourself muted. Thank you so much. Thanks, Kim. And now next we'll have Beth.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Beth V, as in Victor, gratefully recovered in Pennsylvania. This was an excellent paragraph for me to read today, and the two parts that really jumped out for me and the way I've looked at this paragraph is that that I was beyond human aid before I came into this program, as I came into it, and but for the grace of God, there was this change in me, and it wasn't done by me. That's the main point to me of the paragraph. Years before, my thinking was like the prior two paragraphs we read about insane thinking that was hazy and threadbare, and I was a complete failure, and I had no defense against my alcoholic foods. And so the question is, how did I find my way to the other side, to recovery in Overeaters Anonymous and abstinence? And the answer is a power greater than myself. I look back 20 years ago, I was in the beverage program, and I lived in New Mexico in Santa Fe, and I was working with a new sponsor who turned out to be an Overeaters Anonymous sponsor. And she did a great job with me, even though at that time I did not believe I had a food addiction. I even went to a silent retreat with the OA group at a monastery in the Pecos wilderness, a silent retreat. And so there I was with overeaters, and somehow it seeped into my thinking. And in the years following, I was able to drop the delusion that I was like other people when it came to food. I had more than one addiction, is the bottom line. So today, I spend my life in one day at a time, 24 hours a day. I consider my plans. I have to put myself aside because I had to abandon that insane thinking that I wake up with every day, and self-pity, self-dishonesty, self-seeking motives. And I place myself in God's hands, my higher power. And then my thinking is on a much higher plane, which is where I need to be, because on my own, it is low thinking. And very grateful to all of those I hear on the line who have led the way and shined their light so that I may read these divinely written words in the big book. I am in a discipline, so here's what I need to do every day. Thank you. I appreciate all of you. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Beth. Linda W. is up next. We're not hearing you. Star 1 to unmute, Linda.
Hi, Linda W. from Las Vegas. Sorry. Thank you to everybody who's on this gathering here. And this is a very, very powerful. I watched my father die of overeating. And I have a hard time of focusing. I procrastinate. I finally realized that's what it is, that I think I'm going to be missing out on something when what's happening to me, this disease has brought me beyond human aid. I cannot fight this disease alone. There's just no way of doing it. And I know that sooner or later, if I don't get my abstinence completely, I will die. There's no question. I can see it's happening and how it evolves. But I want to thank you, everybody, and thank you for God for putting me in this program so I can be aware of things. And I think without this program, I wouldn't have that new set of eyes to help me and to guide me and to have all the people that are around me. I don't feel like I'm alone anymore. I have everyone here. I have friends. I have family. I have God. That's the main thing, God first. And with God, grace of God, God will help me get through this one day at a time. And as long as I stay aware of what I'm doing, and can take that pause, walk away, and do everything I'm supposed to, and not touch the hot stove, because that's in my life. Touch the hot stove, it's not going to burn me. And I've been burnt. So with that, I want to say that I appreciate all of you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Linda. And next up is Cynthia C., and then Ivy. Go ahead, Cynthia.
thank you, moderator. This is Cynthia C., recovering compulsive overeater and food addict, who's normally in Massachusetts, but I am in New Hampshire today on vacation with my daughter. I wasn't going to share today. I haven't been able to be on a Vision for You regularly because I've been focusing on another meeting that conflicts with the earlier Vision for You meeting. But when I read this paragraph today, it just really deeply, deeply, deeply spoke to me, you know, beyond human aid. And unless locked up, may die or go permanently insane. It brought me back. It just brought me back to where I was when I came into OA. I had had recovery in another food program, and I was in a 20-year relapse when I really felt directed by my higher power to come back to OA. When I hit that bottom and I was sitting in my room and I realized that in all the storage bins in my room were filled with my alcoholic food. I felt like Bill W., you know, I had stuff hidden everywhere and all through my office. And I remember just sitting there on my bed crying because I couldn't stop eating. I could not stop eating. I couldn't stop eating. And I felt like I was losing my mind. You know, I want to just really let go. And I prayed because I had been in the 12-step rooms for years and years before that, before my 20-year relapse. And I just prayed. And, you know, I felt like for the second time in my life, I had like this neon billboard in my head saying, go to Overeaters Anonymous. And I was like, no, I can't because my kids need this and that, and the meetings are going to be an hour away. There was a meeting 4 blocks from my house. There were many meetings within a mile of my house every day of the week, basically. You know, and when I was in the food, I got some mental health diagnoses, which made sense, but didn't make sense. Like, I knew that wasn't me. Like, I knew this wasn't me. And I have to tell you, when I let go of the food and I worked the steps, and I did get outside support. So, you know, I did get outside support. And when I talked to the doctors after I put down the food and worked the steps, those diagnoses were just not relevant. They just weren't relevant. It was the food. It was the sugar. It was my alcoholic food that I cannot for the life of me stop eating when I start. You know, the sugar foods, I can't put them down once I start. I can't. And this is such a good reminder today where I'm trying to do mother-daughter trips with my kid, each of my girls, and I'm in New Hampshire. And, you know, there's a lot of those foods all around me. There's a lot of those foods all around me. And every once in a while, something calls my name. Even, you know, 5.5 years into recovery, sometimes things still call my name. And so, thank you. It must be my time is up. I just want to say, like, I'm just grateful to be here today. Thank you so much. I'm grateful I don't have to pick up those foods today.
Thanks so much, Cynthia. And next up is Ivy, and then we will be taking a new lineup. Go ahead, Ivy.
Hi, Ivy, compulsive overeater, IVS, compulsive overeater and bulimic from California. This is a really good paragraph. It there's a lot of things that stood out to me from here. It says here, beyond human aid, and that's how I think of my compulsive eating and bulimia, that I am in human aid. I must be, because I've tried many things, and yet still I binged and purged pretty much every day. And then here it says, stark and ugly facts. And yeah, there are some stark and ugly facts about my, you know, my binging and purging. And, you know, right now I'm having some significant health issues, regarding my teeth, you know, and that those are, for me, the stark and ugly facts of this disease, that it ravages my health. And it says, confirmed by lesions. And, you know, I think confirmed by my own examples, you know, legions of times that this time it's going to be different, that now this new thing or this different thing is going to change my eating somehow, some way, you know, and it never happened. And as other people have shared, but for the grace of God, and that just gives me so much comfort, the grace of God. I have no power, you know, I have no power today, you know, abstinent. I had no power then. And that if I don't stay close to the program, you know, slowly or, you know, quickly, the insanity will return for me. It's just, that's just the way it is. And instead I have a daily reprieve. And when it says here about convincing demonstrations that, you know, so many want to stop but cannot, you know, it reminds me of wanting to stop but not being able to, and, you know, the beating that my body took and those around me took for the price of a binge. So, you know, right now going through, you know, some health issues, you know, looking again, like I'm beyond human aid. I'm beyond, you know, like that somebody talked about in an earlier meeting, that hole in my soul that is my higher power. And so having to look for my higher power in these moments as well. And thank you. And, you know, get one more time. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Oh, thanks so much, Ivy. And before I take another lineup, if anyone is joining us after the meeting began, I want to let you know that we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 24, the fourth paragraph, and we read that one paragraph only, starting with this sort of thinking. It's fully established, and also a gentle reminder that if you have shared on any Vision for You meeting on Friday or Monday, we ask that you hold back and let others share today. So who would like to share?
Reggie O.
Jordan L.
Okay, go ahead, Reggie.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Now
okay, good morning. Thanks so much for your service and everybody who's on the line this morning. My name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered and living in the state of Texas. And boy, I would say this is a powerful paragraph, but they all are. But this, when this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, it doesn't say when this allergy is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, you know, because, and it just reminds me, this is a two-part disease. It's a, you know, the allergy of the body and then that twist of the mind that has caused me in my life to override time and time and time again the obvious allergic reactions that I've had to certain foods and certain compulsive eating behaviors and this and that. And I you know, if I didn't find a way out, if I didn't get some grace of God in my life, I could have gone, you know, I probably could have gone permanently insane too. And I love that. So, you know, unless there is the grace of God, you know, and I believe that the grace of God is always out there. But when I realized I was an alcoholic with food and didn't know that there was an OA or any sort of program, and had tried every self-help book on the planet and run however many miles I could fit into a day, 2 weeks after I said to myself, I'm an alcoholic with food, I got a call from a friend who had been in OA for like 3 or 4 weeks and was telling me how great it was. The same week I ran into someone in a grocery store line who said they had joined OA. And I started my journey there, you know, and it's been a long journey. I came in this program in 1985, I think it was, and have been in since. I've had periods of being recovered. I've gone out again. You know, I'm very gratefully in recovery now and recovered now. You know, the insanity has been lifted, and that is definitely the grace of God and the working of these steps. There was something I was going to say. Oh, and I've, what I'm doing now that I have not done a lot in the past is I'm really working the hardest of all steps for me, which has been the 10th step. And I'm doing that. And what I have learned through doing the 10th step, up to this point, is that my thinking is involved in every resentment that I have. And the big book tells me that it's the resentments or disturbances or emotional or whatever they are. And the big book tells me that resentment is the number one offender, these emotional disturbances. But I have learned that my thinking is off in every single, you know, emotional disturbance, resentment, whatever you want to call it. When I do a tenth, I get that my thinking has somehow gone awry. And fear usually is at the bottom of it for me. And I think that is my time. But I am grateful for the grace of God and for the fellows who brought the grace of God to me and, you know, that continue to take it out in the world. You know, God can't do it, you know, alone. He uses us as well, or she uses us as well. And I'll pass with that.
Thanks so much, Reggie. And next up is Jordan L., and then I'll take some more names. Go ahead, Jordan.
Thanks, Sherry, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. And with some pretty, like, decent, clear thinking. that's always surprising, too. So I think about that. I think about the state of being beyond human aid. and I remember really clearly what that was like, right? It's still pretty fresh in my mind, even after a little bit of time abstinent and practicing the steps. I still remember that cycle, what it's like to be stuck in that loop with this alcoholic thinking. It's like it just goes round and round and round and round, thinking about self and food, self and food, self and food. And I reflect on that now, and it's like, damn right I was beyond human aid. Like, holy smokes, man. You can't get out of that. You can't use your brain or problem-solving skills to get out of that round and round and round obsession. It's doomed. You're doomed. Like, I was 100% completely and totally doomed using the food as a solution to that, right? And so once I get that, once I start to understand that I'm beyond human aid, which includes religion as well, right? Like, we're really not talking about religion here. We're talking about a spiritual experience. A spiritual experience is what gets me out of that, right? Religion is a man-made thing. It's by no means a bad thing at all in any way, shape, or form, and can certainly be a part of my practice, my personal practice beyond all of this. But we're talking about a spiritual experience. We are talking about action. I take action, and that experience, the experience of taking that action, gets me out of this obsessive loop. and doing it over and over and over again, neurological studies show us these days that, like, the brain is trained. The brain creates these loops. And the good news is that there's actual proof that prayer and meditation gets us out, like gets our brain out of those old loops and creates new ones, creates new pathways, even years into abstinence, even years into life, right? So many want to stop but cannot, and I'm very, very grateful for this solution today and to be a part of it, and that's all I have.
Thanks, Jordan, and I can take some more names. How about two and a half shares left? Who would like to share today?
Tamara C.
Tamara C., hi there. Tamara C. Who else?
Liz.
Kathleen W.
Liz and Kathleen W. Okay, let's start with that and see if we have more time. Tamara C., you're up.
This is Tamara C. Did you call for me?
Yes, I did. Go ahead.
Thanks. I was unmuting. Good morning, everyone. Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. I've been thinking about this part about beyond human aid. And when I first came to OA, I was so excited to find a program where people understood me. And I used a lot of my own human aid to try to work the perfect program, use all the tools and go through the steps to the best of my understanding. I didn't really get that it was all about getting a relationship with a higher power. And then I had a relapse and the food really, really, really beat me up. And I got to the point of really conceding to my innermost self that I can never do this on my own. I really need a power greater than me for the food. And where I'm at today with the Beyond Human Aid is I still need to keep coming back to this in the rest of my life with the insanity of my life, the unmanageability. I'm still trying to, it comes back. These old habits come back of self-reliance. I'm going through the steps again and really seeing this pattern of my human aid, using my human aid to fix myself, my character defects, and really trying to lean into the truth of my powerlessness over all of it. And that I need something beyond human to help me in all areas of my life. And it's not my job to fix myself. And I just get to trust the process of the steps and keep uncovering what may be blocking me from that total trust and reliance on a power greater than me. Thanks. I'll pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Tamara. Liz is up next, followed by Kathleen. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi, this is Liz A. from Michigan, and I am recovering from compulsive overeating, bulimia, over-exercising, restricting. And this paragraph is powerful to me because when I came into OA in 1986, I didn't trust myself to even leave my bedroom with the food. I didn't trust myself in a lot of areas because I couldn't do this thing with food. I mean, I couldn't eat normally. I wasn't able to. And I actually put scripture on my bedroom door because I was like, I can't even leave here. And I also remember early on that I didn't even care to live, and I had to go to meetings, to Overeaters Anonymous meetings, to even care. And so for me, that spiritual process has been, you know, a long, slow climb. And the grace of God removed the bulimia years ago, and slowly but surely, as I've heard, the disease is progressive and recovery is progressive, and I've never left the climb. I'm so grateful to God that I have kept coming to meetings this entire time, because left to my own devices, I will return to my insanity. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much, Liz. Appreciate that. And Kathleen is up next. We may have time for one other fellow after that. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning. This is Kathleen W. I'm from Illinois.
Oh, I'm so full of gratitude. Yeah, as we read this together, I am so, so grateful for what God has done in my life. I'm a high bottom drunk when it comes to this compulsive overeating and eating behaviors. There were a lot of yets in my life. However, what I really can relate to is this obsession of always thinking, as it says in the paragraph before, well, I'll stop with the sixth drink, you know, I'll stop eating like this, you know, after I finish this thing off that I'm eating. I'm not going to eat like this again, or I'll stop. I am going to stop in some ways. I was obsessed with that for many, many, many years. Even in the rooms of OA, I still didn't get it about. I still wanted to control the food. But because of my high bottom, it's been very hard for me to understand this disease clearly. And so I've had to come and keep coming to the meetings, as the lady said before me. I just kept coming to the meetings, thank God. And listening to other people's story, that's how I learned about how the dynamics of this disease works in me. I kept seeing the similarities. And by the grace of God, I have found such peace. I have found such a path to joy, such a path to loving kindness, to compassion, such a path and such a fuller life as I became more and more abstinent and my life and my brain started clearing up. But for the grace of God, I would have been like thousands of others. I had a lot of yets, but like was said, it was said, this disease is progressive, but so is recovery. And by the grace of God, through the years, I've recovered and recovered and recovered and laid this down and laid that down. And as I did, that pathway to my higher power, that spiritual path, is opening up for me clearly, more and more clearly. And I'm just so grateful for the grace of God. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Kathleen. And we do have time for another share. So who would like to take that spot?
Dana P?
Yeah, go ahead, Dana.
Good morning, Sherry. Dana P here. Thank you so much for your service. And what an honor to be of service in this past month of August. And I did get on late, and I was not able to make my service commitment. And, you know, it's so funny because I did reach out. I was there, and I reached out to say that I was there. And how lovely and wonderful that we do have people that can step in. But the thing that was so amazing to me was the response that I got, well, you get to take the day off. And it's that sort of thinking that gets me into trouble. You know, when I think that I can just take a day off, when I can take a second off, a moment off, and indulge my crazy thinking, you know, and it's the insanity of my disease. It all starts in my mind. And I really love the share about that, the science of the brain and how that works. And I get stuck in that rut, you know, thinking that I'm going to run the show, that I can run the show. I'm powerless. I'm absolutely powerless. I'm not helpless. I need to take action, but ultimately guided and directed by the power that lives inside of me. And the part about Beyond Human Aid, what I know is that for quite some time, and even it's tempting for me to expect and or hope that another person has the answers for me. The answers come from the power that's greater than me, not higher, not lower, not outside, that lives in me, but is greater than me. So I'm going to pass with that this morning, Sherry. And thanks again, everyone, for your service and being here to 12-Step Me today. And I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Dana. We have time for one more share. I love this. We keep having time for more shares. Who would like to take a share? Well, that might mean we'll have more time for newcomers and sponsors at the end. Okay, we'll get another couple.
Compulsive overeating.
Here we go. Yeah, go ahead.
You really drew me out. yeah, beyond human aid, we are all gathered here because we are those kind of people. My family has pled with me, sometimes on the sidewalk, calling through the window because I wouldn't answer the door. Please, please, Tom, come out. You know, please talk to us. I was in the cycle, you know, where, yes, if I look at my life, it's terrible. It's awful. You know, I'm not going to live very long this way. No one should live this way. But when I turn back to the food and my amazing mind, I don't care. I am God. I'm a cheap God, but I'm God of this little tiny world. And I can't tell you how many decades I lived there until I was forced out through circumstances and aging. And, of course, the desire for food increases and increases. But, yeah, beyond human aid. And I'm so glad I don't need human aid. I mean, with you, I receive the power, but not from you, through you. So thanks for letting me share.
Hey, thanks so much. I think it was Tom. Thank you so much. Okay. Does anybody want a 1 minute share? Okay. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Jody E. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California from compulsive eating, anorexia, and bulimia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.